Rosh Hashanah. A little bit. Okay. We have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. In Chumash, you only have 1 day Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, the 2 days Rosh Hashanah is not in the Torah. It's not in the Chumash. We have 2 days Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Those who live in Chutz Lartz have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. The Gemara points out that the 2 days Rosh Hashanah is different from the 2 days of every other Yom Tov. The 2 days Rosh Hashanah are labeled as Kedusha Achas. What exactly is the Nafkemina Halacha L'maisa? So there are a few Nafkeminas. Number one is that this year Rosh Hashanah falls out Thursday and Friday. So you have to make an Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday before Yom Tov begins. Any other Yom Tov Thursday, Friday in Chutz Lartz, when you had Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, if he forgot to make the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tov, so the Gemara says he can make the Erev Tavshilin on the first day Yom Tov ala Tanai. He's a Miman of Shach. If the first day was Yom Tov, so the second day is Chol, is Erev Shabbos, so I don't need an Erev Tavshilin. And if the first day is second day is Yom Tov, so the first day is Chol, so I can make an Erev Tavshilin on the first day. If you make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday, so you say a bracha. If you make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, by Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, if you make it on Thursday with the Miman of Shach, then you don't say a bracha. Because one side is that today is Kodesh and tomorrow is Chol, and Memela don't need an Erev Tavshilin. How come you say a bracha if you make the Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday? It's also just a suffix. Maybe the first day is Kodesh, second day is Chol. That's a good question. Why do you make a bracha? Why do you say a bracha when Yom Tov falls out? Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias falls out on a Friday. It's a good question. And before Shimon Shulchan Aruch discuss. But on Rosh Hashanah, he cannot make an Erev Tavshilin tonight because he can't make such a Miman of Shach. We treat both days as Vaday Kodesh. And the same thing, the Gemara says on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, that's Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, Yom Tov Sheni, Refuah is Mutter. The Chachamim made a prohibition, you're not allowed to do the 24 Prokim in Masechah Shabbos, so there's one whole Perek Shemana Shvatzim is all about Refuah, that you're not allowed to apply medications on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Zev Shemi Shachik Samamonim. So on the second day Yom Tov, on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara in Beitza, that Refuah is Mutter. With the exception of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaRichta, it's Kedusha Achas. Yom HaRichta is Rashi's Lashon. The Gemara never says Yom HaRichta. The Gemara says Kedusha Achas. And then the other Nafkamina that the Gemara has, the beginning of Masechus Beitza, is if Nolda Bezeh, whether Asura Bezeh or not. If something is Muktzah on the first day Yom Tov, will it necessarily be treated, and the reason why it's Muktzah only applies to the first day. And there's no reason why it should be Muktzah the second day. So if and every other Yom Tov Sheni, so you say the Yom Tov Sheni is not a Hemshech of the Yom Tov Rishon, it's a Miman of Shach. So you say Beitza Shenol Da Bezeh would be Muteres Bezeh. But on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, we treat it as Kedusha Achas and Nol Da Bezeh, Asura Bezeh. Why is that so? Why is Rosh Hashanah different? Manishtana Rosh Hashanah from every other Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So the Gemara explains why, and there's the Ramban and the Machamis in the first Perek in Beitza has a very nice essay about the topic. He explains the following: and every have Yom Tov Sheni, Shnei Yamim Tovim, it's the Sveika de Yoma. It's 2 days Rosh Hashanah is also the Sveika de Yoma. Let's say today we already have a fixed calendar. So when they instituted the Luach Kavua, so the Shaila was asked of the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael, should we still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias? There's no Sveika de Yoma anymore. We know centuries in advance when Yom Tov is going to be. So the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael sent a letter, Sholcha Meitam, they sent a Pesach, Yizor B'meinig HaVasecha Meidech. You should continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni like you did years ago. So when they had the Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi Hariya, so why did they observe Yom Tov Sheni? So the Ramban explains there were three possibilities on Rosh Hashanah. It could be that the Eidim came at the crack of dawn in the morning and Bez Niklid at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 7 o'clock in the morning, that today is Rosh Hashanah, Farting. So the first day is Rosh Hashanah, the second day is Chol. Or it could be that the Eidim didn't show up at all. The first day the Eidim showed up the second day, right? So the first day is Chol, and the second day is Rosh Hashanah. And there is a possibility that both days could be Yom Tov. How is that possible? So the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah gives the whole background. Originally the din was, but Rishayna here, the Mishnah is Lamed Amid Beis. But Rishayna originally the practice was, the Bezdin can accept the witnesses who declare that they saw the new moon all day long. Pamachas and Shtauha Edim Ilova, the Edim came late in the afternoon. This was not a Rosh Hashanah, it was a regular Rosh Chodesh. The Edim came late in the afternoon. And on Rosh Chodesh, you have a different Shir Shal Yom. You have a different Shir Shal Yom. So they miskalkulu halavim b'shir because they thought that it was a yom chol in the bizman of Bishop Mikdash Oikaim. Obviously, this story happened. They thought that it was going to be a yom chol. So they said the weekday shalom gemar. Exactly what they said, but they said either they said the wrong shir shal yom or they said no shir shal yom at all, because they didn't know which shir to say. So because of this issue of the shir shal yom, we don't understand. What's the big deal with the shir shal yom? There's a machlokes hatanai whether the shir is ma'akev es hakorban. We paskan the shir is not ma'akev es hakorban. You sing the shira at the time that you do the nisach hayayin. They can do the nisach hayayin tomorrow. They can do it next year also. If you didn't do nisach hayayin today, mikar ba'afilo arasor yom, you can do it 10 days later. And if you do it 10 days later, say you say the shir shal yom from the day that you were supposed to have said. Let's say you didn't bring the nisach hayayin for the tamid on Wednesday morning. So the Gemara in Erchon talks about it. So you bring it next month on a Sunday. So the Gemara says, so you say the Shir Shal Yom of the Wednesday that it should have been. So what's the big deal with the? We don't even paskin that the Shir is Ma'akev, and if the Shir. So you yotze the Nisach Hayam without the Shir. So you didn't say the Shir. So you said the wrong Shir. The Shir, which Shir you say is a Din D'Oraisa. It's not a Din D'Oraisa. Every day you sing a Shir. If you say the wrong shir, so the world doesn't come to an end. Very strange. We don't understand. So that must be some Sodis HaKabbalah over here. Because Al Pi Nigla, you don't understand why the Chachamim made such a takana. They changed the whole world. They turned the whole world upside down because of this issue with the Shir Shal Yom. So they made a takana. You can only be Mekabalatis to declare today is Rosh Chodesh before the Kohanim brought the Tamid Shal Dein Abayim. And if it's Ben Amincha Lamaila, so then, if it happens to be Rosh Hashanah, if it's not Rosh Hashanah, say make tomorrow Rosh Chodesh. Okay, if the Edom didn't come before Tamid Shal Bein Abayim is Mancha Beis Hamikdash Haikayim, so the Bezna has a right to refuse to accept the Edom. That's a din. Atem Afilim is Edom. Let's say one of the members of the Bezna owes money on Rosh Chodesh, owes money on Tu B'Shvat, whatever, and he doesn't have enough money to pay. And he says if they'll postpone Rosh Chodesh another day, he'll have enough money. Or a child is going to be bar mitzvah and the kid doesn't know that parsha, knows the other parsha, wants to postpone the bar mitzvah. So if you make the Rosh Chodesh on the wrong day, maybe they'll fire that member of the Bezin that he's rigging the Kiddush HaChodesh because of his personal considerations. Okay, maybe it's not right. But the din is atem afilu mizidim. If the Bezin declared Rosh Chodesh on the wrong day, or the Bezin decided not to accept the Edom, they want to postpone Rosh Chodesh till tomorrow. That's a din. So they made a takana. This is a tzarach gadol. That's why we don't understand what the great tzarach gadol is. If the Edom don't come before Akravas Tamish of Ben Abayim, Bizman Shabbos Migdash Oikaim, so then you make tomorrow Rosh Chodesh. And if it's a Rosh Hashanah dika year, so then Nogim Osiyam Kodesh and Lamacha Kodesh. The people will say, look, we abstain from Malacha all day long thinking that today is going to turn out to be Rosh Hashanah. Then it turned out late in the afternoon they told us we made a mistake. Tomorrow's going to be Rosh Hashanah. So next year, if the same thing is going to happen, we're going to do. Why should we lose a whole day of Parnassah? We're going to do Malacha all day long. These rabbis, they're going to tell us again, at the end of the day, that we can do Malachas. I could have made money a whole day long. We could have done Malacha. Next year, it'll turn out that the first day will be Rosh Hashanah, not the second day. So they made a takana de Rabbanan that if the Yedim come in Amin Cholamaylo, the first day is Yontif min the Rabbanan, and the second day is the Yontif min Atur. Nogim osi yam kodesh alamachal kodesh. So bizman shebeis hamigdash hayekayam, they used to do kiddush hachodesh al pi hariya. And there would be three possibilities on Rosh Hashanah. The people are lived far away from Yerushalayim. Usually the Bez Nagadol was in the Lishkas HaGozer. Usually it was in Yerushalayim somewhere. Kiddush hachodesh doesn't need Bez Nagadol. You have to have the Bezna of three who are approved by the Bezna Gadol. The Rambam holds that that's always the din. And the Ramban says when there is a Bezna Gadol, it's not right that any old Bezna of Tom, Dick, and Harry, Rabbi Tom, Rabbi Dick, and Rabbi Harry, the three rabbis should get together and declare when Rosh Hashanah is. It's neged to all of Klal Yisrael, so it's not their cheretz that Tom, any ad hoc Bezna should decide. So they should be authorized by the Bezna Gadol. And the Rambam holds, no, it's a real din. It has to be authorized by the Bezna Gadol, not Tom, that it's not their cheretz. So usually it was near Yerushalayim. the Bezin of three that took care of Kiddush HaChodesh, we're usually near Yerushalayim. So how's anybody else in the Eretz Yisrael and the whole wide world going to know when Rosh Hashanah was? So there are three possibilities for Zman HaMikdash. Could be that the first day is Rosh Hashanah, could be the second day is Rosh Hashanah, could be both days are Rosh Hashanah. Could be that the Edom came in HaMincha L'mailo, and the first day Rosh Hashanah with the Rabbanon, and the second day is Rosh Hashanah with our Torah. So we live already in the period that we have Kiddush HaChodesh Al Pi HaChesbon. We follow the Luach, and we still observe Yom Tov Sheni, because that was the Psak that the Rabbanim said. Shalcha Meitam, they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael. Yizor b'minig avasechem b'yadechem, you should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni the same way they observed the Bizman Shekid Shal Pi Ariya. So the Ramban explains, so that all three possibilities could be, you have to consider, we have to observe Yom Tov Sheni today, with all the three possibilities. Could be only the first day is Yantav, could be the second day is Yantav, could be that both days are Yantav. So that's why we say, if both days are Yantav, then it's Kedusha Achas. If you have Yantav next to Shabbos, that's a Machloike Satanoim, and we paskin that Yantav next to Shabbos are Shtei Kedushas. But if you have Yantav next to Yantav, it's exactly the same. The Rambam might say, if you have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos, so the Dinim are exactly the same. There's no Heter Rechel Nefesh, neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Kippur. So the Rambam writes, Yeroyali, if you have Yom Kippur next to Shabbos, that's going to be Kedusha Achas. So if Pesach would fall right next to Shavuos, if Shavuos would fall next to Rosh Hashanah, it never happens, it's impossible. If you have Yontav next to Yontav, it's impossible. Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot are scattered around in the year. Shmini Atzeres is a different time, Rosh Hashanah is a different time. But here you have it, if you have Nogam Osei Yom Kodesh Lamacha Kodesh, you have Yontav Derabbanon is the first day, Yontav Derais is the second day, both exactly the same. So that would be Kedusha Achas. So since Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaKam, all three logical possibilities existed. Could be the first day, could be the second day, could be both days. So we today should observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah on the same way they observed the Bizman HaMikdash, that it could be all the logical possibilities. So you have to go to Chum in all the directions.
Are there any nafkaminas between other Yom Tov Sheni and Rosh Hashanah?
Gabi Kvura, the Gemara says you do a Kvura on the second day Rosh Hashanah, even though you should have said that it's Kedusha Achas, because Yom Tov Sheni Lagami Meis Kechol Shavio Rabban. That Kula still applies even to Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Where do they observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli? So usually only observe in Chutz Lartz. That's a question. The Rambam says that these to send shluchim all over to notify everybody when Rosh Chodesh was established, in order that they should know when it's Sukkot and when it's Pesach, when it's Shavuos and so on. So the Rambam says the Mekom Mishal Shluchim Agiyim doesn't depend whether it's Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Lartz. It depends how close you are to Yerushalayim, how far away you are. There are locations in Chutz Lartz where they only observe one day Yantav. There are locations in Eretz Yisrael where they used to observe 2 days Yantav because the Shluchim lo higiyu l'shom. So the Rambam says that today also doesn't depend on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Lartz. Depends how close or how far away you are from Yerushalayim. Common practice is not like the Rambam. We follow the Ritva. Ritva writes on Masechus Vashon, and not so. We divide between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Lartz. All of Eretz Yisrael you only observe 1 day Yantav, and Chutz Lartz, even the close locations, you observe 2 days Yantav. So the Shaila is, this makes sense, this Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Lartz, and the Rambam, close, far. Okay, this makes sense, Benegit, the Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkot. What about on Rosh Hashanah, Gufa? On Rosh Hashanah, even the people in Eretz Yisrael wouldn't know. There were no shluchim. You can't send out shluchim to go chutz l'tchum. Shluchim would go horseback. The shluchim are not allowed to go on Rosh Hashanah. So on Rosh Hashanah, nobody knew when it was. Everybody had to observe a Sveika D'Yoyma. See, here the Balamor points out that the Mor says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, towards the end of the period of the Bai Sheni, Eser Golias Golso Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin originally used to meet and Lishkas HaGozes, and then they were floating around. Now the Kiddush HaChodesh didn't necessarily have to be taken care of by the Bezn HaGadol. The Rambam says Bezn HaGadol has to authorize a Bezn of three to take care of the Kiddush HaChodesh. So that Bezn that took care of the Kiddush HaChodesh wasn't always in the same location where the Bezn HaGadol was. But it's a Chakal B'chaymer. If the Bezn HaGadol was floating around in 10 different locations, as the Golias Golso Sanhedrin, so the Bezn that took care of the Kiddush HaChodesh also was floating around. So the Balamor says, Every year it may have been in a different location, and it probably was this mantra Kiddush al pi Ariya till the days of Abai Barabba that was Kiddush Achadush al pi Ariya. It was during their lifetime that their counterpart in Eretz Yisrael Hilasheni established the Luach Kavua that we follow today. So the Bezna of three was floating around in Eretz Yisrael. One year they would be in the north, one year they'd be in the south. They were always running away from the Goyish authorities who wanted to prohibit, wanted to do away with the whole Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashana system, that the Jews shouldn't be able to observe any Yom Tovim. So the Balamor says, he quotes Rabbein Ephraim, that until the students of the Rif moved to Eretz Yisrael, all of Eretz Yisrael only observed one day Rosh Hashanah. They didn't hold 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And the Rif's Talmidim introduced, based on the Rif Shita, they changed the Minig, and they introduced 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So the Balamor thinks that the Rif was wrong, the Talmidim of Rif are wrong, you should go back to the old practice, you should only have 1 day Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban defends the practice of having the 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramban explains both Shitas. He explains the Balamor Shita and his own Shita. See, the Balamor points out the fact was that the Bezdin of three who declared Kiddush HaChodesh, this was for centuries, was probably located in different cities every year. It was floating around. So the Balamor holds, therefore, in the Beis Havad, where the Takana later, when they made the Luach Kavua, and they said, everybody should observe Yom Tov Sheni the way they always used to observe it. But if you never observe Yom Tov Sheni, let's say in Yerushalayim, where the Bezna Gadol was, they never observe Yom Tov Sheni. So they never observed the one that's Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Ariya. So they don't have to observe Yom Tov Sheni Bizman Hazeh either. So the Balamor says that since in every location in Eretz Yisrael there must have been 1 year, at least, that the Beis Havad was there, that the Bezna of three who declared Kiddush HaChodesh once they were in Be'er Sheva, once they were in Tzafon, once in Galil, once in Hebron, and once in Yerushalayim. So all of Yerushalayim has the din like the Beis Havad. So you never have to observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah. The Ramban says no. Since there was always 1 year that the Bezna of three was not in any given city, so every city has to observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah. The Takana was, you should continue to observe. Those who observed in the past 2 days Yom Tov should continue to observe. Those who only observed 1 day Yom Tov should only observe 1 day Yom Tov. So the Shadow was in all of Eretz Yisrael, every city at some time or another held 1 day Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, and every city at some time or another held 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So when they formulated their takana, Yizar v'minig avsecha miyadechem, those who observed 2 days Rosh Hashanah in the past should continue to observe it now. What do you do about the cities who sometimes did observe, sometimes didn't observe? So the Balamor holds, since every single city at some time or another was Tocha Tchum to the Beis Havad, to the Bezna three, who declared Kiddush HaChodesh, and no place in Eretz Yisrael that you have to observe Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah. And the Ramban holds, to defend the Rif, he says, no, faket, since every single city at some time in history or another had to observe 2 days Yom Tov, so he's Zer Min and Gav Secha means that every city in Eretz Yisrael should observe 2 days Yom Tov. Yeah, where does this lead us that we say that we treat do 2 days Rosh Hashanah L'chumra, maybe the first day, maybe the second day, maybe both days. We go L'chumra and on all directions. So because of the possibility that maybe both days, that's why we say Nolda B'zeh, Sura B'zeh. But if that would be the din that is Mamish Kedusha Achas B'Toras Vadai, let's say if he made an Erevei Tchumen, and the Erevei Tchumen was there Leil Yontav Rishon. So it'll be a vadai kedusha achas. You wouldn't have to have that. You wouldn't need that the erev tchumah should still be kayam, that the food should still be present the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So we say no. We treat it as a sveka deyayim alachumra. Or let's say if it would be the b'toras vadai kedusha achas, he would only say shachyano on the first day. He wouldn't say shachyano on the second day. I just blew tkiyah shayfer yesterday. I just said kiddush last night. What am I saying again kiddush for? So the answer is no. We treat it as a sveka deyayim. And maybe the first day was chol. And second day is Kodesh. Today we have a Luach Kavua, so we know what it is. But we should continue to act today in accordance with all the logical possibilities that used to be years ago, Bismach Kitchal Piyariya. So Bismach Kitchal Piyariya, all the three possibilities existed. Could be the first day, Kodesh, could be the second day, could be both days. So if it only be that it's both days, so when you make an Erev Tchumen, all you need is that it should be Kayim Bein Hashmashes. So there's only one Bein HaShemashes to worry about, the first one. So we say, no, maybe it's only the second day. Maybe it's not both days. Maybe it's only the second day. You have to have the Erev Chumen, should be Kayam, on the second day. If it will be a Vadai Kedusha Achas, he wouldn't say Shech Yonam on the second day. So because of the Suffolk, usually say Suffolk Brachas Lahakil. But by Brachas, by Yantam Sheni Shel Golias, the Gemara says that's an exception to the rule. The Gemara says that you say there, Suffolk Brachas Lahachmer. You don't say Suffolk Brachas Lahakil. That's in the Sugya of Chanukah. And Perek Mamem Adlikin. So the Gemara says, whenever you have a Sofik Bracha, usually go lahakel, except for the Brachas on Yantam Sheni Shel Golis, go lahach mekech delo leisi lezulzuli bay. So that's our practice, that we say Shachyanu in Kiddush on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, because maybe it's only the second day, maybe the first day is Chol. And we don't allow Refu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it's Yom Kodesh Lamacha Kodesh, maybe both days are Kodesh. And if the Erev Tavshilin was there the first night of Yontif, we would still insist that it has to be there the second night, if you want to go Chutz L'Trum on the second day, because we say maybe the second day is Kodesh, maybe the first day is not Kodesh. We go L'Chum in all directions. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the practice from the Maharam Rutenberg. Every so often they quote about 15 cases in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the Maharam Rutenberg introduced was from the Hasidi Ashkenaz. He introduced a new theme into Psak Halacha, that whenever possible you should try to do things in such a fashion that Yotzi Yedei Kol Hashitas. Mishkan Yankiv has a tshuva in Hilchas Erevin, where one of the tshuvas back and forth with the Beis Ephraim. So he has in a Hagor, and on the side he has a comment. He has Hagor, like the Hasagos HaRaivin in the middle of the Rambam. In the middle of the paragraph, he has a little Hagor. So he points out that the Maharam Rutenberg introduced Chumras to the Yetzir Yedei Kol Hashitas, and this was one of them, that you should have a Pri Chodosh or a Beged Chodosh when you say Shachyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, just in case the din is really like those who Rishonim hold that you don't say Shachyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, so it shouldn't be a Bracha L'Vatola. So if you have a Pri Chodosh or a Beged Chodosh, are you covered? It's problematic. How are you covered? If you say Asher Yotzar, let's say I say Kiddush, and then I say Asher Yotzer, and then I drink the wine. So it's a hefsek. What do you say Asher Yotzer over here for? If the Chachamim were misakin to say Kiddush, they say Yain Kiddush Ner Havdolah Zman. So the Rosh quotes the question, it's like a hefsek. It said Bar Pagofen, and you say another four brachas until you get to drink the wine. Yain Kiddush Ner Havdolah Zman. So the Rosh says Kach Tikna Chachamim. So that's not a problem. But if a guy's going to stick in Asher Yotzer, he's going to stick in a different bracha that doesn't belong there. So that will certainly constitute a hefsek. So what do you mean over here? You take a pricharush, a beggar charush, now for sure there's no problem. You solved all the world. How do you solve all the problems? A shayla of hefsik. He said kiddush, and then before you drink the wine, you say shachyano. So you got it. So the whole bar piagof, and is a bracha levatol. You got to say again bar piagof. So that's a major problem. If Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has something about that in his tshuvas, I don't know. The kasha is better than the teretz. He works on that. He works on that kasha. It's a little strange. We're discussing a Shachyanu over the Yontif. The Gemara in Erev in Daf Mem has a Shaila, whether you say Shachyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. When you say Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, you don't say Kiddush, should you say Shachyanu or not? So the Gemara says, well, what did you do last year? No one is alive who remembers what they did last year. The Gemara says, no, Avada they said Shachyanu. They want to know, is it only Rishus or is it a Chayva? Because Shachyanu, when you have a Pichadash, there's only a Rishus, the Gemara said, that's not a Chayva. But Shachyanu, Pesach Shavuos Sukkis is a Chayva. So the Gemara wants to know, yeah, about it we said Shachyanu on Rosh Hashanah, but was it a Chayva or was it a Rishus? What's the Sofik in the Gemara? What's the Nekudas HaSofik, whether it's a Chayva or a Rishus? So some of the Rishonim explain, some don't discuss at all. Those who comment on the Gemara, they explain that the Sofik in the Gemara is there a Chiv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? This is really a machlokes hatanoim in Maseches Moikotin in the third parak. The din is that on Pesach Shavuos Sukkis there's a chiyuv simcha, because there's a chiyuv simcha if one is in the middle of Avelos, one is in the middle of Shiva, so Yontif cancels the Shiva, one is in the middle of Shloshim, so Yontif cancels the Shloshim. So there's a machlokes hatanoim in the Mishnah. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Do we say that they also have a chiyuv simcha, so they also cancel Avelos? Or you say no, only Pesach Shavuos Sukkis have a chiyuv simcha. So we paskin that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also cancel Avelos. Could be because Allah could be that it's only because it's Hilchos Avelos. So what about on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The Rishonim said, are you mechuyev to say Shalchiyonah or not? It's like Gora from Pi Chodosh. Pi Chodosh reciting of Shalchiyonah is a Rishus. The guy's excited. He sees he lived to another cherry season, to another potato season, to another orange season. So if that brings him excitement, he says Shalchiyonah. So if he lived to another Rosh Hashanah, so then of course it's a Rishus to say Shalchiyonah. But on Pesach Shavuos too, because the Shalchiyonah was a Chayva, because of the Chiyuv Simcha, so that's what the Rishonim say. That's the suffix. Whether Shalchiyonah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is a Chayva or a Rishus, is there a Chiyuv Simcha or not? So we paskin that it is a Chayva. We paskin that there is a Chiyuv Simcha. We paskin that the fact that Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur cancel Avelis is not only because Halachik de Ramekel Ba'ovel, because it's a Sveik Edina Machlekes Hatanah. No. We paskin you say Shalchiyonah, you mechuyev to say Shalchiyonah on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So that's the shaila here. The second day, Rosh Hashanah is a machalikah. So Rishonim, what they say, Shalchiyonah. So in order not to get involved in a suffix bracha, so we take a little fruit. No one knows what the fruit is. The guy in the store tells you it's barbarites. You take his word for it. We don't know exactly where it grows, what side of the globe it grows on. So the shaila is, we're talking about such a serious Shalchiyonah, about Yontif, and then we solve our issue. We resolve our issue by bringing in a fruit that looks a little funny. That the Minkacher writes in his safe, and the Mincha Saluza writes that he never liked to do that. He didn't. He says, "We pass the Mikra then that you say Shalchiyonah, even if you don't have a Pri Chodesh, a Begat Chodesh." And he thought that this is a bizoyin to the Yontif to bring a Pri Chodesh in order to solve the problem of the Shalchiyonah. He thought that the Pri Chodesh is a bizoyin to the Yontif. But the common practice is like that everybody takes either Pri Chodesh or Begat Chodesh. And that's the shaila that Rav Shlomo Zalman asked. How does that resolve the problem? Now you have a problem of hepsik. If you weren't supposed to say Shalchiyonah, and you said it in between the bar pagafen and drinking the wine, so you have a hepsik.
Nowadays, a person eats pri chadash or buys a bag of chadash. We still are knowing to make Shalchiyonah, even though you can probably people go into stores and buy three suits at once. People eat pri chadash all together anyway.
The Begat Chodesh is a big problem. Gemara has a machlokes, what's the din of kana v'chaz of a kana? If it's the first time I'm buying a suit, you say Shalchiyonah. If it's kana v'chaz of a kana, so then it's a machlokes. So we pass it even kana v'chaz of a kana. Yeah, but that's because years ago a person bought a suit, so that was the suit in Europe. That was the suit that he wore for 40 years. So when he's a young child, he wore the suit as long as they used to have big suits. As long as they would fit. And then when he got married, he had a suit that would last him for 40 years. By us, we buy suits like underwear. You buy every year, you buy another suit, and the suits are made to wear out. They get worn out like underwear. Sometimes the underwear lasts longer than the suits. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. That he said he didn't say he didn't say Shalchiyonah. He says he has five suits in his closet. He buys another suit, he's not so excited. He has all the other old suits. Yeah, the Pri Chodesh also, the people really realize that it's a new season. We don't even know. We don't even realize where the fruit is coming from. The whole reason that you say Shalchiyonah when you see a Pri Chodesh, you don't have to eat it. Even if you're allergic to it, you're not allowed to eat it. When you see the Pri Chodesh being sold in the store, so then you say Shalchiyonah over the excitement that you realize that you have survived another year. Oh, I survived till a new cherry season. I survived till a new watermelon season. I'm all excited. When we see the fruits, that we realize that it's a new season. I don't even know if the season just began when my wife brings this fruit. I don't know, maybe it's the middle of the season, maybe it's the end of the season. I don't know what country it comes from. I don't know. We pass Kamika Redin, you say Shalchiyonah anyway, without the Pri Chodesh and the Begat Chodesh.
Is there any reason to have a Pri Chodesh and a Begat Chodesh in Lent?
I don't know. Good question. Are we really solving the problem? I don't know. It's a very good question. He's our b'minig abaseich meidech. Maram Rutberg introduced the minig to try to be yotzi. They call us shittas. So we still continue to try to act like that, as if we're solving all the problems by satisfying all the shittas. Yeah.
Is there a gemara that says you can do the shachianu on the shuk if you want to do the shachianu in the middle of the meal?
Right. So that's maybe we should all do like that. Because the Shalchiyonah, if it's a real suffix, whether he says Shalchiyonah on the Yontif, and the Shalchiyonah is really said because of the Pri Chodesh, So then it should be a hefsek. So if you say in the middle of the meal, it'll satisfy everything. But on the other hand, we're not really saying Shachyan because it is Pri Chodesh. We don't even know what it's all about. So Shachyan is really for the Yontif, and we're really paskin that you're mechuyev to say Shachyan. That's the position that we have adopted. I don't know. It's a good question. They quote in their books that the Vilna Gaon, Mrs. Vilna Gaon, showed her husband that she bought grapes for the second day Rosh Hashanah. So he said Shachyana right away. He followed the Din of the Gemara that you say Shachyana when you see the new fruit, not when you eat it. When you see it in the store, even if you can't afford to buy it, you don't plan to eat it at all. You say Shachyana because you're excited. You see that you have survived till the new watermelon season, till the new orange season, till the new apple season, whatever. And then he told her that the minig is that you don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah because the different practices. He said, Shachyanu anyway. He followed the Psakim Shulchan Aruch is even if you don't have a Pri Chodesh, Beg the Chodesh, he says Shachyanu anyway. We pass him like those in Shachyanu, we do say Shachyanu. He said that the Eitz Hadas, there are different opinions in the Tanoim, what exactly was the Eitz Hadas. So one popular opinion is that it was grapes. So we don't want to look for trouble on Rosh Hashanah, so we don't want to eat grapes. We fell in the first time. You don't want to eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah.
Drinking wine?
That's why Adam Rishon sinned with the grapes on Erev Shabbos. He was created on Erev Shabbos, so that's why we recite Kiddush over wine on Leil Shabbos as a tikkun for the chet of the Eitz Hadas. That's how it says in some Kabbalah Svarim, because the grapes bring kalkola loilam, people get drunk and they do kol davar asur. So we use the grapes to make the wine and we say Kiddush and we don't get drunk and we don't beat our wives and we don't curse and we don't do improper things. I don't know. I think it's assumed that if you buy a Begat Chodesh and it's fit to wear right away, so you say Shachyana upon the purchase. And if it has to be altered, if the trousers are too long or whatever, it's not the right size, so then you say the Shachyana the first time you wear it after it was altered. So usually I think we assume that you have to be wearing it. I think so. There is a machlekas, the Rambam and the Magid Mishnah, where the Kiddush on Yontav is the Raisa, the Rabbanan. The Rambam writes that all the dinim of Shabbos carry over to Yontav, Zachar v'Shomer, Kibud v'Yoneg, everything carries over to Yontav. And he says that just like Kiddush on Shabbos is the Raisa, so too Kiddush on Yontav is the Raisa. Simple reading of the Rambam is that even Havdalah, Amitso Yontav is also the Raisa. Then Itziv insists, no, even though the Rambam says that Kiddush and Havdalah on Shabbos are deraisa, and Kiddush and Yontav is deraisa, Havdalah on Yontav, he thinks even according to the Rambam is only the Rabbanan. Simple reading of the Rambam is not so. They're both Kiddush and Havdalah, both on Shabbos and Yontav are deraisa. And Magid Mishnah quotes, there are those who disagree with the Rambam by the Havdalah, and there are those who disagree with the Rambam by the Kiddush and Yontav. There are those who think that Kiddush on Yontav is only the Rabbanan. Some of the Achrayim ask, isn't it against the Gemara? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Lamed Beis Amid Aleph has a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva how to read the psukim. So there's one. So they both they're learning at Malchus as Achrayim and Shofar. You have to mention all these things, and then they both agree you have to mention Kedushas Hayoyim. So they just argue, which pasuk do you learn it out from? Whether you learn it out from the pasuk Ani Hashem Elokechem? No. Whether you learn it out from Mikra Kodesh, or you learn it out from Shabboson. Shabboson Zeh Kedushas Hayoyim. That's what Rabbi Lezer says. And Rabbi Kiva disagrees, says no. Rabbi Kiva says Shabboson means Shvos, not to do Malacha. And Mikra Kodesh means Zuk Dusha Sayyam. But they both say Dusha Sayyam is there. Why do you make Dusha Sayyam? Dusha Sayyam means to recite Kiddush. So the Gemara seems like it says Beferish, that reciting Kiddush on Yontif is a din deraisa. Shagasari has this whole fantastic pshetel. It's really questionable whether it's a pshat or a pshetel. On the Rashi, the din is the Baltakeya has to be one who's Mukhi Bedover. If the best Baltikeya in the community is a Nochri, or a Kotten, or an Isha, who are not Mechuyim and Tekir Shofar, So the Mishnah says, "Dekana b'motzias harabim b'deichay v'asam." That's the last Mishnah in the third parak. And Rosh Hashanah chavtes amanal b'zeh aklal called Mishenim b'chui b'dover in motzias harabim b'deichay v'asam. The Gemara has a shaila on the bottom of amanal of going over to amid beis chavtes amid beis. What if the Baltakeh already is mechuyev in tkiyashev, but he already heard tkiyas, and he goes to the hospital to blow for the patients over there? So he's no longer mechuyev b'dover. He was yotzei already. So if he's not mechuyev, how can it be moitzeh the other? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, that's the din, yotzeh, moitzeh. Even though I was already yotzeh, the mitzvah, I can still blow shofar again for someone else. And the same, even though I already recited Kiddush, if there's someone who comes late to the meal and they don't know how to say Kiddush, I can say Kiddush for them, even though I already don't need the Kiddush. Yotzeh, moitzeh. So Rashi says, the Gemara tells the story, someone came late to the meal and the Balabas said Kiddush for them. So Rashi writes, Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. It was on Yontif. How did Rashi know that the story was on Yontif? Maybe it was on Shabbos. The Gemara doesn't say whether the incident happened. Even though he already said Kiddush himself, he recited Kiddush again when the Oris came. Ki havi osi arisa midabra havi Mekadosh lehu. When the workers came, he said again Kiddush, the Yontif did Kiddush. How did Rashi have the Ruach HaKodesh to know that the story happened on Yontif? Just because it's a Maseches Rosh Hashanah? It doesn't mean that it happened on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom. Maybe it happened on Shabbos. So the Shagzar has a whole fantastic story. So he says, Yotza Moitzi. Rashi explains, why is Yotza Moitzi? Because Kol Yisrael Arev Mezeh Bezeh. As long as there's one Jew left in the world who didn't hear Kiddush yet, who didn't hear Tkir Shofar, so I'm still Mechuyev to blow Shofar in order that he should be able to be Yotza with Shemei Kainim. So he says, that's a pshetl. On the level of the Raisa, that doesn't work. So Rashi interprets the Gemara that it was Kiddush on Yontif, because Rashi holds like that opinion in the Magen Mishnah, the Kiddush on Yontif is only the Rabban. Now Kiddush on Shabbos, he wouldn't say Yotza Moitzi. And by blowing Shofar also, he says, on the second day Rosh Hashanah, that Tkiya Shofar is only with the Rabban, and then the Baal Tekeya, who already was Yotzi, can go to the old age home, to the hospital, and to blow for the people. But on the first day Yontif, we talk about Tkiya's Deraisa, he don't say Yotza Moitzi. And he claims that this is Pshat and Rashi and Maseches Brachas on Daf Memches. The Gemara tells a story that Yana HaMelech had a whole party, a whole meal, and he was religious, but he was crazy, so he didn't know how to bench. So he invited his brother-in-law. His wife was afraid she was going to kill her brother, so he had a promise he's not killed all the other members of the Sanhedrin. In Shimon ben Shetach, her brother was in hiding, so he promised that he's not going to kill him on this occasion. He's not going to kill him on this occasion. So he came to bench for them. So he gave him a cup of wine. Yana Hamel gives a cup of wine to his brother-in-law Shem Meshetach and says, okay, say the benching. So he drinks the wine and he says, now give me another cup of wine. So he says, what was it all about? I didn't invite you to drink the wine. So he says, if I don't drink the wine, how can I say Baruch Shechan M'shaloi? If I didn't drink anything, I have to drink some wine to enable me to recite the Bichas HaMoz. So the Gemara says that his opinion is a minority opinion. We don't pass him like him. We pass him that it's not enough if you had a cup of wine. You have to eat a kazayis of bread. Once you had a kazayis of bread, then you can bench to be moitzi the other. So Rashi is bothered with the kasha. Rashi quotes the halachas gedolos was bothered with the kasha. All the rishonim are bothered with the kasha. That we usually assume that one who eats a kazayis of bread is only obligated to bench mid the rabbanon. And the Yana Vechaver probably ate a whole filling meal. So they were obligated to bench mid our Torah. So how can one who's only obligated mid the Rabbanim because he ate a kazayis, how can it bench to be moitzi the others? That's the kasha that they all have. So everybody stands on the head to give answers. So Tosfos says, what's the kasha? Yotza moitzi. The din is that if I would have eaten a whole meal, I would have been mechuyev to bench. So now even I didn't eat a whole meal, I can recite the benching on behalf of someone else. So what do I have to eat even a kazayis of bread for? So he says, no, because how can you say it's doy b'shkarm? How can you say baruch shechan m'shaloi if you didn't eat bread? So Shimon Shetach thought that that's sufficient if you just have a cup of wine. And we don't accept his opinion. You have to eat some bread in order to be able to say with a straight face, baruch shechan m'shaloi. But you don't have to be mechuyev b'dover because Yotza Moitzi, because since you're a bar chiyuv, if you would have eaten a kedei svia, you would have been obligated to bench ben ha-Torah, so mechuyev to bench now. So it's such a good answer. That's what we accept in Shulchan Aruch. That's the pshat that we accept. If I ate a kazayis of bread, I can be benched to be moitzi all the others because Yotza moitzi. Why do the other Rishonim disagree? Why did Rashi and the Bahag? Why do they all have to give different answers. So the Shagat Zahir says, that's why. Because benching is a din derais, and Yotze Moitzi is only a make-believe din that only works on dinim derabanan. Doesn't work on dinim derais. His opinion has not been accepted. We don't accept him. But he claims that that's the Rashi. He says that the Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, who says that the story with the Kiddush was Kiddush on Yontav, is because Rashi holds like that Magen Mishnah. It's a whole shekel, a whole fantastic story here. Because Rashi holds that Kiddush on Yontav is only the Rabbanon. So Yotze Motzi only works on the Rabbanons. It wouldn't work on Tkiya Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Only works on Tkiya Shofar on the second day. No, needless to say, we don't follow his opinion. Usually on a Yontav, when there's a Chi of Simcha, so one is not permitted to fast. There's an Issa Tainus on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. What about Rosh Hashanah? So the Rishonim quote from the Gaonim that they held that it's permissible to fast on Rosh Hashanah, because even though it's a Yontav and there's a Chi of Simcha and there's Derech Avelos, but it's a Yom Adin. So they hold that it's permissible to fast. So we rely on this Shitas HaGaonim with respect to two things. Number one, usually the Rishonim had a chumra that you have to start eating before Chatzos on Shabbos or Yontav because there's an Issa Tainus. Because of Oinig Yontav, Oinig Shabbos, or because of Simchas Yontav. So on Rosh Hashanah it says, even though the Chazan takes so long to daven and you're not going to begin to eat the meal until after Chatzos, we're not so makbid about it because we rely on the Goyim who say that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. And then in the later poskim, they quote another nafka min aladina that normally if a person forgets to say Alav Yov and Bichos Amozen on Yontav, you have to bench over again because you're mechuyif to have a suda. But since on Rosh Hashanah, the Goyim are of the opinion you're permitted to fast. So if one benched and they forgot to say Alav Yov, we're not so convinced that the Goyim are wrong, so we wouldn't require that you should bench over a second time. Maybe you weren't really mechuyif to eat the meal on Rosh Hashanah. So some of the later poskim say that that's only Rosh Hashanah in the daytime. That's the chelik of the day, that's the Yom Adin. The night of Rosh Hashanah, there is no din. So the night of Rosh Hashanah, for sure, you're not allowed to fast. So if a person forgot the Alav Yov and benching Leil Rosh Hashanah, everyone would agree he has to bench over again. The only time there's what to rely on, and the Shitas HaGaonim, is Rosh Hashanah by Yom, not Rosh Hashanah by Laila.
Why wouldn't we say that it's a Safik Doraisa? If one has Kisiyah, then why wouldn't it be a Safik Doraisa, whether one was really benching?
No, the benching, the Pashtus is, if one forgets to say Ritzei Yalav Yovah, you have to bench over, not because he weren't Yotze the benching, he weren't Yotze Tzudas Shabbos, he weren't Yotze Tzudas Yantar, but the benching, he were Yotze. You were Yotze the benching, you're not Yotze the Tzudas Shabbos. That's what Tosfos says, Shalashud is, since there's a Sofik in Balei HaTosfos, maybe it's an Afamina Targima, so you can be Yotze the Tzudas by saying a Bar Nefashos, and Bar Nefashos, you're not going to mention Kedushas Hayom. So even though you had bread and you're benching, but the benching you're Yotze anyway. Even if you didn't say Ritzei Yalav Yov, it's just you're not Yotze the Suda. So if you hold that you're not Mechuyif to have a Suda, so then there's no problem. The Chayyadim every so often will quote, every 100 pages will quote a psak from one of the Dayanim of Vilna. Originally, Chayyadim was a businessman. He was not a Dayan. And later in life, he was appointed a Dayan in Vilna. When his business didn't go so well, then they made him a Dayan. So he quotes every so often from Ababala Pasvel. Pasvel was on a section on the outskirts of Vilna. So he quotes a famous psak that if one davens on Leil Rosh Hashanah, if he gets to say Hamelech HaKadosh, so even though it says in Aseres Meitshuva, we pask and you have to daven over if he said Hakel HaKadosh by mistake, but the first night Rosh Hashanah, since the Gemara says if you forgot to say Yalav Yovah and Rosh Chodesh and the Shmon Esrei Amarev, you don't have to repeat the Shmon Esrei because they mekachan zachodesh balayla. So Babala the Dayan thought that the same should apply over here by Leil Rosh Hashanah. Emekachan zachodesh balayla, so you don't have to daven over if you forget Hamelech HaKadosh. The Beis Halevi in his Tshuvas writes he's not too happy about this. He says, I would agree, I would be happy to go along with the Dayan, with Rabbi Babala, if he said the Vach Dikah Shmon Esrei on Leil Rosh Hashanah. And if he didn't say Atav HaChatan, he didn't say the whole Shmon Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Because Eim Kachan Sachodesh Balayla, the same as on Rosh Chodesh, if you got Yal V'Yavah. But he said the whole Shmon Esrei of Yontif. And if he got to say HaMelech HaKadosh, so it's a Stirim in Ha'yabay. So for sure he's not Yotze. That's his taina. Moshe Feinstein thinks that it's right for a different reason. He says that the insistence on reciting HaMelech HaKadosh is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done the whole world on Rosh Hashanah. That's why we emphasize the theme of Malchus. And the Yom HaDin is only by Yom, not by Laila. Like the Goyim say that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah in the daytime because it's Yom HaDin. The night of Rosh Hashanah is not yet the Zman of the Din. So that's why Moshe says that if one forgot to say Melech HaKadosh, Leil Rosh Hashanah, so the season of Din didn't enter yet. The season of Din only enters in the morning. So you can't say that it's Makeh B'Yevim. No, no. Just got to make sure we don't forget HaMelech HaKadosh. We got to daven from a machzen. We got to make sure that we look every word in the machzen and we don't forget HaMelech HaKadosh. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes Iran. The Iran has a suffix. If you have a shofar from a behemoth tmeya, is it acceptable or not? Does the shofar have to be from a behemoth tohira? What's the issue? The Gemara in Bamei Madlikin says that lehuchshuro lemelech hashamayim elor behemoth tohira belvad. That you can't, you're not allowed to use aloch lemoshim sinai. You can't use or behemoth tmeya for ritzuas of tefillin. Or for the or is techoshim. The Gemara says the tachash was an animal that only existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu when they were making the Mishkan. It didn't exist in the later generations. So the Gemara says it must have been a kosher animal. If it would be a behemoth tmeyo, you wouldn't be able to use the hide to cover over the ureas and the Mishkan because l'huchshu l'melech hashamayim alar behemoth tor b'levad. So the Ran has a suffix. The two dinim where the Gemara applies it are the Mishkan and the Ritzuas of the Tefillin and the Batim of the Tefillin. So the Ritzuas and the Batim and the Tefillin and so on, this is all Tashmishi Kedusha. But a Shofar is only Tashmishi Mitzvah. So the Ran is Mesupik whether this din L'huchshu L'malecha Shamayim only applies to Tashmishi Kedusha or even to Tashmishi Mitzvah. L'huchshu L'malecha Shamayim B'lar Behemet Torah B'mvay. The Rabbi Natam in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza towards the end of Yivamis writes, Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natam, he says that the Chalitza shoe has to be dafke from Or Behemoth Tohira. If it's Or Behemoth Tmei, it's not acceptable because the Pasuk in Yecheskel that you learn it out from, Pasuk in Yecheskel describes the Rabbanu Shalom taking care of the Jewish people like a baby. Like when we had Yetzias Mitzrayim, so the baby was born, and then you wash the baby off and you smear him with oil and then you put on a diaper, a pamper, whatever you put on. Then you straighten out the legs and then you put on the clothing on the baby. So the Pasuk says, Baruch Shalom is raising his baby and we are the baby. So the Pasuk says, Ve'en olech tochash, and I put on shoes, leather shoes, on the baby. Ve'en olech tochash. So tachash is behemoth tohira, the Gemara said. Because Orest Choshim must have been Behemoth Torah, because the Huchshu L'Malach HaShamayim Alard Behemoth Torah Belvad. So the Gemara there has a discussion in Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza. What's the din? There's a din of a sandal. Chalitza has to be with a Cholza Nalom Yaraglo the Nal, and Nilas HaSandal is Aser on Yom Kippur and Aser on Tisha B'Av. Does it only have a din of a sandal or a Nal if it's made from leather, or even if it's made from wood? Or even if it's made from other materials that are that protect the foot. If it's made from cloth, it doesn't really protect, so that's not called a nal. So you're allowed to wear socks on Yom Kippur, and you can't do chalitza with anpilya. If the Yavam takes off a thick sock that's made from cloth from the Yavam's right leg, that's not enough. What if she takes off a wooden shoe? Is that acceptable? So that's a machlokes satanoim and a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim paskin that a wooden shoe is also on Yom Kippur, and a wooden shoe is considered a na'al. And we paskin based on that pasuk in Yecheskel, when olach tachash, it's only called a na'al if it's made from tachash or something similar. So the Rabbi and Tam says, there you have it. Tachash was our behemoth tohira. Tachash was a kosher animal. So therefore, if you have a behemoth meyer, you can't use it for chalitz. So that's a question the Rabbi Natan meant to say you're allowed to wear all of our shoes are horse leather, normally. The shoes that we buy usually horse leather. But that's why when you make a chalitza shoe, you have to have it made specially to order. It doesn't have to be made by a Jew, the shmuck can be made by a non-Jew also, but you can't use regular horse leather. You have to use or behemoth tohira. So the shad is Rabbi Natan meant to say it's only called a shoe, it's only called a nal if it's or behemoth tohira. So you're allowed to wear our shoes on Yom Kippur because they are behemoth tmeya. That's what he meant to say. That it's not called. The Gemara quoted that pasuk. Menolach tochash. Menegeh to Yom Kippur, Menegeh to Chalitza. Rabbi Natan meant to say if it's Behemet Meh, it's not Tachash, so it's not called the Shul for Yom Kippur purposes also. Or no, Darach HaShulchan and other Acharim say no, the Rabbi Natan only meant because Chalitza is a mitzvah, so the sound of Shal Chalitza is a Tashmishi mitzvah. It's not a Tashmishi Kedusha, it's not like the Ritzuas of the Tefillin. If you have an old chalitza shoe that you don't plan to use anymore, you can throw it out in the garbage. It's nizrokim, it's not tashmishi kedusha nignosim. But the Rabbi Natan meant to say that since you're using the chalitza shoe for a dvar mitzvah, so we should apply that rule. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan understood in the Rabbi Natan. So that's a suffix in the Ran. The Ran has a suffix. What if you have a shofar from a behemoth may, is it acceptable or not? The Ramah doesn't quote the Ran was Mesubik. Ramah quotes the Ran as saying that it's no good. Some Achronim asked, he misrepresented the Ran. The Ran never said. The Ran had a suffix in Mela, the Ran would recommend that you shouldn't use it. That's what the Ramah quoted. You shouldn't use it because it's a suffix. Okay. Despite the fact that it's only a Tashmishi mitzvah, it's not a Tashmishi kedusha. Yeah. The Ramban, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, gave a long drosha in the Beis HaKnesses HaRamban, in the Old City. And he wrote up the whole drosha, a long, long drosha. And he writes a lot of halachas of Tkiyah Shofar and various aspects of Rosh Hashanah. One of the things he writes is that a shofar is only kosher for Tkiyah Shofar. He doesn't write about kosher animal, non-kosher. That's the Ran is the first one who brought that up. The Ramban says it has to be a horn that's not solid horn. It has to be a horn that has flesh inside, that you can scrape out the flesh. You can make it as thin as you want. The Gemara talks about that. But if you have an animal that has a solid horn, you're going to have to drill a hole through. By definition, that's not called the shofar, because the word shofar comes miloshen shofaris. So if it's not, shofaris means a hollow container that you can hold something in. A tube is a shofaris. So the Ramban has a chiddush. If you have an animal that has a solid horn and you have to drill a hole through, then that's not acceptable for a shofar. So what are the rules and regulations of a shofar? The Ramah claims, based on the suffix, it has to be from a kosher animal, and the Ramban says it has to be a shofar. It has to be that it has zachrus and nakfus. That's the Lashon Gemara. It has to have the flesh. You have to scrape out the flesh. The Gemara calls that the zachrus. Inside the nakfus is the hard part. The Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim, whether the Mishnah just says that a shofar shal para is a machlokes if it's acceptable or not. The paskan shofar shal para is no good if it comes from a cow. Why is it no good? So the Gemara has three different reasons. So the Mishnah gives one reason, that in Tanakh shofar shal para is referred to as a keren, not referred to as a shofar, so it's the wrong thing. The Gemara has another suggestion, maybe shofar echad v'lashnayim v'shlosha shofaris. What if you have a shofar and it has a hole in it? That's the way the shofar grew. Or that's a hole developed later on. So if you leave it the way it is with the hole, you can blow shofar the way it is. Even though it has a funny sound, it'll be acceptable. The Mishnah Berurah says the minig is you try to have a shofar sholem. You don't want to have a shofar with a hole in it. But strictly speaking, the hole would be kosher. The only time it poses problems is if you have a shofar that has a hole, niki v'sasmo, and I plugged up the hole, either by adding another piece of material other than shofar, or I took a piece of another shofar and I added it over here. Then you have a psul of shnai m'shloshe shofars, that's no good. But if you leave it the way it is, then it wouldn't pose a problem. So the Gemara says that the shofar shal para, you see the layers on it. It's only one shofar, but it appears as if it's shnai m'shloshe shofar. So every year another layer develops on the shofar, so it looks as if it's different pieces put together. So that's the second reason why shofar shal par is no good. Then the Gemara says the third reason why shofar shal par is no good, and that's the famous reason. So zain katega nasa sanega. What does that mean? Ain katega nasa sanega. That just like the kangodol on Yom Kippur is not allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the tzitz, with the big day zahav, because all the gold in the world belongs to the same class of gold of the egel hazahav. We're not talking about making a tzitz, a big day zahav, with the gold of the egel hazahav. But since it in the when you enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so we're more machmer regarding this principle of enkatega nasas anega. So all gold in the world is called the dover shel chefta shel aveirim. So the egel hazahav was an egel. It wasn't really, it was zahav, but it was an egel, and the egel is the vlad of a para. So anything that's a para or an egel is reminiscent, belongs to the same category, belongs to the same class as the egel hazahav. So just like you're not allowed to take any zahav into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're not allowed to take anything from an egel or a para into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So who's going, who's blowing shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? We're blowing shofar in the Beis Medrash downstairs. Mara says, "Kivin to the zikaron kaasi kilefnim dami." Wherever you are, all over the world, since the purpose of tkiyah shofar is lahal zichronim shel yisrael afnei avim shebashamayim, it's tefillah. Whenever you daven tefillah, you should consider it as if you're mamish in front of the Rabbanu Shel Olam and the Kodesh HaKadosh, as if you were in heaven above, standing right in front of the Shechinah. So the Gemara gave this as the third reason why you're not allowed to use a shofar shel parah for the purpose of tkiyah shofar, because ein katega nasaneg, it's considered a dover shel avera, a chefta shel avera. If you're talking about lifnai v'lifnim, or tkiyah shofar is considered like lifnai v'lifnim, so then we're more touchy, then we're more sensitive about this concept of a chefta shel avera. Any gold in the world, or any egel, any parah, is considered a chefta shel avera. If it's outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then it's only called a chefta shel avera. If it's a mitzvah bo b'aver, it's a lulav hagozel, this lulav was stolen. This lulav was stolen. So then it's a mitzvah bo b'aver. Then you say, that's the original din of Enka Tegan Asa Sanega. This is a chefta shel avera. But if you're talking lefnai v'lefnim, or a tefillah in the presence of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, so then as long as the object belongs to the same category of zahav or egel or para, so we're more sensitive and we declare that also as a mitzvah bo b'aver. So we have rules and regulation. It can't be para, it has to be a behema toira, it can't be a behema tmei, or machmer. And the Ramban said it has to be hollow on the inside. That's it. These are all the rules. So the Ramban paskins, no, there's a Mishnah that says that you need on chavavim a base. The Gemara has in Rosh Hashanah, the third pair, Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah, should it be a straight shofar? Should you use a shofar from an animal whose horn is straight? Shall ya'al pashut? Or should you have a ram's horn? Shall zacharim kfufim? It should be twisted. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, we don't pass like the Mishnah, we pass like the other tanoim. So the Rambam writes that that's li'kuva. If you don't have a ram's horn that's twisted, it's ma'akibir yevet. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? This is not li'kuva. Yeah, you had all the rules and regulations. It has to be hollow, and it has to be shal behema Torah. Can't be shal par, and everything else is acceptable. This is al-hatchila, should be kufim. That's the proper way. That person should be kufuf on Rosh Hashanah when he's davening. And there, it's 2 days in Tosis, and the Rambam understood like that opinion of Tosis, no, that this Mishnah disagrees with everything else. You forget about all the other rules, you throw everything in the garbage, has to be Dafka Shal Scharm Kvufim, period. That's the end of the story. And the Rabbi learns the Poshib Shat, no, this is Alachat Chila. And also we should remember Akedas Yitzchak. On the occasion of Akedas Yitzchak, so Avram Avinu took the Ayalach and Echaz Besrach Bekanam. The Gemara says in the first parak, Lama Toikim B'Shofar Shal Ayil, that the Rabbanu Shalom should remember for us the Schus of Akedas Yitzchak. Yeah. When did Akedas Yitzchak occur? I don't think so. No. The Ramor comes up with the Chiddush that Behemoth Tmei is no good. So we really don't paskin like that Rambam. We paskin like the Ravid that has to have all the rules and regulations. And L'chatchila we have Kufim, Schorim Kufuf. We don't paskin like that Rambam. And the Gemara says that the tradition has it. In the Chumash it doesn't say when Akedas Yitzchak occurred. Tradition has that Akedas Yitzchak was on Rosh Hashanah. But that's why Tikkur Lufana B'Shofar Shalal Kedesh She'eschol Lachem Akedas Yitzchak Ben Avraham. Mal Ani Alechem Kilo Akadatem Atzmechem. That's in the Gemara in Tezayin Amad Aleph. We want to bring to mind Akedas Yitzchak on Rosh Hashanah. That's how we say in the davening, Eschol on Akedas Yitzchak. Tosfos quotes from the Aruch. The Aruch was a Rishon who lived before the Baalei HaTosfos, obviously. Tosfos quotes from the Aruch meaning from the days of the Gaonim. The Aruch is quoting from the Gaonim that the Tosfos is Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, a gigantic Tosfos, that you blow 100 koilas, you blow 100 koilas. Tosfos quotes other Gaonim say you only blow 40 koilas. They blow tkiyas the Miyusha. They blow tkiyas after Maftir, before you start davening Musav. You blow 30 koilas. You blow Tashrat 3 times, Tashat 3 times, Tarat 3 times. And then Al-Chazar HaShat, after Malchias, this was a minig b'shtei yeshivas. And the two yeshivas in the days of the Goinim, and they had the carryover of the Minhagim from the days of the Amoraim, that they blew at the end of Malchias, they blew Tashrat. The end of Zichrenis, they blew Tashat. And the end of Shefes, they only blew Tarat. So Tosfos asks, it doesn't make any sense. Rabbi Bowen, who lived in the city Kisrin in Eretz Yisrael, made an institution. We should blow all the logical possibilities because we have Mesupik. That's on Rabbi Hiskin. Rabbi Bobi Kisrin is over here, Lamedal and Aman Aleph. Because we're not sure what's the correct form of Trua, whether Trua should be Shvarim Trua, Shvarim alone, or Trua alone. So what did you do over here in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz? For sure you're not Yotzi. Blow Tashrat after Malchias, and Tashat after Zechonis, and Tarat after Shefes. For sure it doesn't make any sense. So the Goyim defended it. The Rif quotes the Chuvus HaGoyim, they defended it. So Tosfos quotes that some of the Sifrei HaGoyim write that you blow Arboim Koilos on Rosh Hashanah. You blow 30 Koilos before Musav, and then 10 Koilos in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. And Tosfos quotes from the Orach, no, you blow Mer Koilos. How does he calculate Mer Koilos? So he says you blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, after Malchias, after Zechonis, after Shofar, so that's 30. And not only did he blow in the Chazaras HaShatz, he blew in the Tefillah Balachash as well. The Gemara says he only blew Tkiyah Shofar al Seder HaBrochas B'tzibur. If you're B'yochid, you don't. Even if you're an expert Baltikeah, or you have an expert Baltikeah in front of you, the din, either the din deraisa, the takana de rabbon, whichever it is, to blow Tkiyah al Seder HaBrochas, was only applies if you're davening b'tzibur. So the Orach was of the opinion that not only the Chazaras HaShatz, even the Tefillah Balachash is also a Tefillah b'tzibur, so you should blow in the middle of a Tefillah Balachash as well. The Avnei Nezer writes that that's his practice, that's the minig by the Hasidim, they blow in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash, but he writes and makes such confusion. And it's such a balagan. People are holding in the first brach, the last brach, everybody's holding somewhere else. No one knows what's going on. He says, if not for the fact that that's what I do for a living, I'm a Chassidish Rebbe, I wouldn't have done it. He said, what can I do? That's my parnasa. I'm a Chassidish Rebbe, so he has to blow shofar. He has to maintain the minhag to blow shofar in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, followed the practice of the Oruch, to blow tkiyas in the middle of Tefillah Balachash, but he didn't institute it in the big shul in Brisk. He had a small minyan on Rosh Hashanah, so in his private minyan, he had them blow shofar. That's Rav Soloveitchik also. He had a very small minyan in Maimonides. I remember when they used to only have 9 people who were bar mitzvah, they had always had to be mitzvah for cotton to the 10th one of the minyan. Not on Rosh Hashanah, but on Shabbos. So it was a tiny minyan there in Maimonides, 30 people maximum. So they used to blow shofar in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash. By some of the Chassidish Rebbes, they blow shofar in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash, and they have a makri also. The Chassidish Rebbe will call out in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash, Tikiyo, and so on. Others don't even have the practice of having a makri, even by the Tkiyas, the Miyushav. The Sfarim don't have such a practice. Many Sfarim don't have the practice. The Baltikeah knows what he's supposed to blow. He doesn't need any help. And the common practice by the Ashkenazim is that you have a makri, when you're allowed to, not in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. It's a hefsek in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. In order that it should be considered the Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas, so the Gemara says it's only B'tzibur, B'yochid not. So how does the Chazaras HaShatz relate to me? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik obviously used to say, you have to be there from the beginning to the end. You can't just come in when the Baltikeah is blowing the shofar. If you're schmoozing outside, then you come, you're not talking, not allowed to talk in the middle of the kids, okay, not talking. He's looking in a sefer, whatever, he's not paying attention. Then he just comes in when they're blowing shofar, but he didn't hear the whole Shmoneh Esrei from the Chazan. So that's not called tkiyas. I'll say to our brachas, tkiyas, I'll say to brachas, you have to hear from the beginning to the end. The Chazan Ish also starts off like that. You have to hear from the beginning to the end. That it should be considered tkiyas, I'll say to our brachas, should relate to me. Then he chisels it down. He says, maybe if you heard Malchus Chayna Shayfus, maybe it's good enough. Let's say the question is, if he davens a long still Shemana Esrei, by the time he finishes the Shemana Esrei, the Chazan is already up to Kedusha. Or the Chazan is already, he already started. He finished the first bracha of Magen Avraham. So you didn't hear the first bracha. So is that called Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas? So the Chazanish is a little bit mekel. He says, as long as he heard the three brachas of Malchus Chayna Shayfus, it's good. So the Vejic always used to say it's no good. You have to hear from the beginning to the end. You have to hear the whole Chazar Sashatz from the beginning to the end. When exactly do you recite his Malchus Chemanis and Shofar? So the Gemara in Brachas says that when the Anshe Knesset Hagdola were composing the Tfilus, so they had to have a precedent in Tanakh that you have a right to make such a Nusach HaTfila with so many Brachas. So they found a source in Tanakh that you can have it with 18 parts, the Shemana Esrei. Then when they decided they wanted to add on the 19th bracha of Olam HaShinim, so they found the precedent of a tefillah that has 19 units, and they found the precedent of a tefillah with 24 units. On the Tainus Sibudis, the Chazan would add on another 6 brachas and the Chazar Sashatz, it would add up to 24. And they found the precedent for a tefillah with 9 brachas. So that's on Rosh Hashanah and the Malchus Chayna Shofar. So the Gemara says on Rosh Hashanah, Malchus Chayna Shofar. It sounds like Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha. That's how Rashi, there's a Rashi in Avodah Zarah, says like that. The Maharsha points out the Rashi. That's what it says in Rashi. And the Balamor points out like that, that all the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah is supposed to say Malchus Chayna Shofar. The common practice is not so. We assume that you only recite Malchus Chayna Shofar in Musaf. So if you only say in Musaf, so how do you read the Gemara? The Gemara says originally they used to blow Shofar in Shachris, in connection with on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the Mishnah with the Gemara. Originally used to blow Shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris at the conclusion of Malchus Chayna Shofar. Then because of the Gzeiras HaMalchus, they had to move it to Musaf. How could they blow Shofar in the middle of Shachris if you don't say Malchus Chayna Shofar? They say it only in Musaf. So the answer is that Malchus Chayna Shofar shifts. Whenever you're supposed to blow Shofar, that's when you're supposed to say Malchus Chayna Shofar. It's not a din Musaf, has to be Malchus Chayna Shofar. Whenever you're blowing Shofar. So originally the Gemara says, the Gemara explains the whole, the two opposing considerations. The shul was half empty when the Chazan recited Chazar HaShatz. Everybody comes late to shul. So if you blow Shofar in the morning and Chazar HaShatz, on the one hand you're going to have Zriz Makdimim Mitzvahs. You blew Shofar at the earliest available opportunity. You should say Malchus Chayna Shofar in Shemana Esrei when you're going to blow Shofar. So say in Shachris and blow Shofar then. So more mitzad echad, you should blow Shofar in Shachris because Zviz Magdimin Mitzvahs. On the other hand, Vereivam Hadras Melech. So when it comes time for Musaf, the shul is going to be crowded to capacity. So the Gemara says originally the din was you blow in Shachris, that Zviz Magdimin Mitzvahs takes precedence over Vereivam Hadras Melech. And they moved it to Musaf in the later generation because of the Gzeres HaMalchus. And Tosfos says, we leave it like that. Even though we no longer have the Gzeres HaMalchus, we leave it like that. Maybe the Gzeres HaMalchus will come back again. So that's what many posts can point out from this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Beis, and Beis. You see that it's not proper, the common practice, that when a person makes a Pinyan Aben, so they make the Pinyan Aben at the end of the day. If they're going to have it right after Shachris, hardly anybody will show up to the party. So you don't have to have people show up to the party. People want to have a party and they want to have everybody show up. But if you make it late in the day, after work hours are all over, then you have twice as many, three times as many people will show up. So this Dechemet quotes all the Achrayim who write that it's not really right. That's Zviz Makdim LeMitzvahs takes precedence over Roivam Hadras Melech. If not for the Gzeres HaMalchus, we would have done that by Tkiyo Shofar as well. The Gemara in the first Perek, Tosfos on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, says, we know why we blow Shofar in the Shtil Shemana Esrei. We know why the Orach writes. And the Goyim only have Tkiyo Shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, and the Orach has 30 Koilos in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, 30 Koilos in the middle of the Shtil Shemana Esrei. And then he says, the Orach has 30 Koilos before Musaf. Where does that come from? That's not mentioned here in the Mishnayos. It's supposed to be the Kiyos al Seder Brachos. He says, "Oh, that's from the Gemara in the first parak." And after Zayin, the Gemara says, "Lama tokim emring shein yoshvim, tokim emring shein omdim." So Tosfos understands that that's what it means, Tkiyas D'Miyushuv. Tkiyas D'Miyushuv means that Tkiyas in the middle of the Amidah, middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. And Tkiyas D'Miyushuv means you're not in the middle of the Amidah, and that's referring to the Tkiyas before you daven Musaf. So why do they add on all those Tkiyas? So the Gemara says, G'day L'Arbev Es HaSotan. So Rashi writes on the Gemara, what's G'day L'Arbev Es HaSotan? We want to demonstrate how much we cherish the mitzvahs of the Rabban Shalom. The Satan comes to say that we're all lax and religious observant. So we want to show the Satan that we enjoy and we love so much to do the mitzvahs. We even do the mitzvah above and beyond what we're obligated to do. Min HaTorah, you're only mechuyav to blow tekiyah, true tekiyah, three times. We blow so much more. So that's the way we ma'arbev the Satan to demonstrate chavivas ha-mitzvahs. So that's how Tosfos read it. The tkiyas that you blow before Musaf are the tkiyas the Miyushav. The Balamor disagrees. Balamor says, no, the tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras Hashat, that's called tkiyas the Miyushav, when everybody is sitting in their seat with decorum. And then they introduced to blow shofar at the end of the davening as everybody's walking out. That's called tkiyas the Miyumah. As everybody's folding up the talis and walking out, that's the tkiyas the Miyumah. So who was the one who introduced the Kiyas before Musaf? So the Balmar says, no, that was post-Talmudic. That was introduced when the Goinim introduced all the Piyutim. And they're going to be Cholim Eskenim and Muboris and Manikas. They won't be able to stay till the end of all the Tkiyas Shefer. They're not going to hear the Tkiyas. So, because they're going to have to leave early. And days of the Gemara, he says, the Davening took 1, 2, 3. They didn't say so many Piyutim. But now that we added on the Goinim and the Rishonim added on so many Piyutim, so they have to give a break to the people, have to leave early. So that's why they introduced the Tkiyas before the davening of Musaf. But more correct really is that that all the Tkiyas are supposed to be Al Seder HaBrachas. Rashi on the Gemara seems to be assuming that Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas is a Din D'Oraisa. That's the Pashut Pshat in Rashi. The Ramban HaChumash disagrees with Rashi, but that's the Pashtus and Rashi, Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas is a Din D'Oraisa. And the Gemara says it's only Betzibur. It's interesting. Tkiyas Betzibur Al Seder HaBrachas is a Din D'Oraisa. The Brisker Rav and the Soloveitchik family used to be Makbid. They have a Diuk from the Loshon HaRambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph and Hilchas Brachas, whenever you hear somebody recite a Bracha, Asher Yotza, Bar Nefasha, Shahakol, whatever, you should always say Amen at the conclusion of the Bracha. And if they're saying Kiddush and you want to be Yotza with the Kiddush, for sure you should answer Amen. But even if you didn't answer Amen, Shameya Ke'oina. If you're paying attention, even if you didn't answer Amen, it's considered as if you said Amen. If you would have, Shameya Ke'oina, as if you did say Amen. If you would have said Amen, Kalo Aino Amen, Kilo Hoitzi Bracha Mipiv Domi. It's considered as if you said the Bracha. So the Rambam already wrote this klal. Whenever you hear somebody say Bracha, you should say Amen. Then the Rambam in Hilchas Tfilo, when it comes to Chazaras Hashatz, writes over there that everybody, the whole Tzibur answers Amen. And in Hilchas Brachas, when the Rambam quotes Brichas Hamazon, and the Bench Mezumen, so also the Rambam writes the whole group should answer Amen. So there seems to be a mashmois from the Rambam. One could say there is no mashmois, but that's what the Soloveitchik family thought, that there's a mashmois from the Rambam, that Anias Amen is Ma'akev in Chazaras Hashatz and in Bench Mezumen, because it's a Dovashel Tzibur, so you have to have audience participation. Like at the Rav Soloveitchik said, like at Hagrizim and Harevel, it says, V'yona kol ha'omi Amen. Why do they have to say Amen? Shamea Kaina. It's considered as if they said Amen. So he said, no, it's not going to help Shemeh Kaina here. He need the audience participation. In order that the Brachas HaKlala should be a Dovah Shel Tzibur, so they have to say Amen. So it could well be possibility that a Chazaras HaShatz Anias Amen is Li'ikuva. So then they went a step further and they said, and there's a correct way and an incorrect way to answer Amen. So the Gemara says, if you answer Amen before the other person finished the Bracha, that's Amen Chatufa, Gechapt. He said too quickly. And if you answer Amen too late, you already finished the Bracha a while ago and you wait too long, a few seconds after, that's an Amen Yisayma, like a Yosem isn't connected with a parent. So here the Amen is not connected with the Bracha. So you have to wait till the Mevarech reached the whole Bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik, every year on Rosh Hashanah, would make this whole announcement before the Baal Tekeah recited the Bracha on Tekeah Shofar. So he would say that everyone should, when the Chazan is repeating the Shmoneh Esrei, Everyone should wait till the Chazan pronounces the final syllable of the bracha before they say Amen. As the Mishnah Brewer points out, that the Nusach, the Nigin, for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and for Yom Tovim usually misleads the Olam to answer Amen too early. Like you say, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yom Azikam, everybody usually says Amen, together with the final syllable. Or you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Zocher HaBris. So usually everybody says Amen while the Chazan is saying the final syllable. So that's called an Amen Chatufa. So there used to be Machmed. I remember years ago in the Yeshiva, there used to be one Rebbe here. He used to walk from the Bronx. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he davened in the Yeshiva, and he learned by Rav Elvola in Europe. So on Rosh Hashanah, he would turn around, and he would wave his hands, that no one should say Amen till the Chazan finishes the final syllable, like the conductor of the audience, and then he'd show, now you answer Amen. The correct way to answer Amen. Because if you don't have nine people answering Amen properly, so then the whole Chazaras HaShatz, you're not Yotze, according to this Mashmoz and the Rambam, that Anias Amen is Leikuvah. And the Amen has to answer properly. So no one's Yotze this din, which according to Rashi may be a real din deraisa. Tkiyus al Seder HaBrachas. So again, so the Oruch writes that you have Mea Koilus. What are the Mea Koilus? He blew 30 Koilus, what we call Tkiyus the Miyusha, before you start davening Musaf. According to Taisus, that is Medina de Gemara. According to the Balamar, that was introduced Bizman HaGoinim. Then the Oruch has 30 Koilus in the middle of Tfilah Belachash, then 30 Koilus in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, because he writes, the Oruch writes, not like the Minig B'shtei Yeshivas. Minig B'shtei Yeshivas was they only blew Tashrat for Malchias, Tashat for Zechronis, and Tarat for Shofras. And the Oruch had the practice like we do today. You blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat for Malchias, and the same for Zechronis, and the same for Shofras. You have 30, 30, 30, and then they would blow 10 Koilus at the end to add up to a sum total of 100. What's the significance of the number 100? So the way it says in Taisus, quoting from the Yoruch, he says, because the Gemara learned that, Yom Tru Yolachem and Metagamin and Yom Yabova. And what does the word Yabova mean? To cry, as it says by Aim Sisra, Vatiyabev. She was standing by the window looking, when is her son going to come back victorious from the battle that he waged against the Jewish people, and he was killed. He was killed by Yoel Eshes Chevra Keni. And the tradition has it, that's the way it says in the Yoruch, tradition has it that she sobbed 100 times. So we blow Mea Koilos, can I get the Mea Koilos that Imid the Sisra cried? So everybody, Makshim Hoylem, everybody asks, why should we blow Mea Koilos corresponding to the Mea Koilos of Imid the Sisra? Very strange. So in the Torah Shlemi has a long Arichas on this, and Chumash Bereshis, and he quotes many sources from the Gaonim who don't say Imid the Sisra cried 100 times. No. Sorry, Imenu cried 100 times on Rosh Hashanah. The Akedah took place according to tradition on Rosh Hashanah. That's why the Gemara says in Tezayin, Lama Tokim, B'Shoifer Shalayil, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember the S'chus of Akedah Yitzchok, Male Ani Alechem Kilu Atem Akartem Asatz Mechem Lefanai. That's what the Gemara says. So we want to do another thing for Zechet at Akedah Yitzchok, that the Medrash says that Sora was crying. When she heard about the Akedah, she was crying. Question, at what point did she cry? When she thought that he was going to get killed, or was she heard that he wasn't going to be killed? That's two versions how to read the Medrash, but the Medrash says that she was crying. So in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, they say that the Mea Koilos, HaKenegin, the Mea Koilos, that Sora was crying. Whatever it is, that is the common practice, that you blow Mea Koilos. The Gemara says that Bizman Hazeh on Rosh Hashanah we only blow Shofar. Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim in the Harabayis they used to blow Chatzotzvus simultaneously with the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And a Taina Siba, the mitzvah is to blow Chatzotzvus. As it says in Chumash, the beginning of Bamidbar says, V'chisovim v'cholom v'yartzchem al atzar tzareischem v'hariyosim v'chatzotzvus. So the Mishnah says both on Taina Sibur and on Rosh Hashanah they would blow together, and based on English, they blow Chatzotzvus and Shofar. On the Taina Siba, the Iker is the Chatzotzvus, so the Chatzotzvus would be Marich. The Shofar would blow half the time, and then the two people blowing, the people blowing Shofar would stop. The Gemara says on a Taina Siba, the Iker is the Tkiyas Chatzotzvus. So the one blowing the Chatzotzvus would stand in the middle, and the two people blowing the Shofar would stand on the side. Because there's a Gemara in Yuma that says if there are three people walking on the road, so it'll go to Hailach B'Emtza. The biggest Tamachacham, the most Bechavadika person, should walk in the middle. So on a tiny seaboard, the Iker is at Gears Chatzaitzra. They have the Chatzaitzra in the middle, and the two people belong Shefer on either side. And they stop in the middle, and then the Chatzaitzra is Marich Lahodia to demonstrate Sheikah Mitzvahsayim Bechatzaitzra. And Rosh Hashanah was Faket, the Iker Mitzvah of Tkia was B'Shefer. So the one blowing the Shefer would stand in the middle, there were two people blowing Chatzaitzras would stand on the side. They would blow both at the same time, and then the Chatzaitzras would stop. And the one who would be blowing Shefer would be Marech B'Shefer to demonstrate Shemitzus Hayam B'Shefer. So the Gemara says, this is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Chatzaitzras are called Shefer, Hariu, Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. Whenever you have one or the other, you have to have both. But that's only Lefnei HaMelech Hashem, only in the Beis HaMikdash. And other Tanoim didn't realize that, so after the Churban Abayis, they tried to institute it in other locations, and then they told them, no, it's not correct, only in Beis HaMikdash. Only Lefnei HaMelech Hashem do you say, whenever you have one, you have to have the other. There is a Mishnah in Erechin where it talks about the clay shir that the Levim used to play musical accompaniment when they would be singing the Shir Shalom as the Kohen would be doing the Nisach HaYayin. So it says different days what the orchestra usually consisted of. In certain occasions, Yom Tovim, they had more pieces of music. So it says they blew chatzaitzus. It doesn't say that they blew shofar. So the Sfasenis and Erchin is bothered with the kasha. What happened to this gemara? B'chatzaitzus is called shofar. Hariyo lefnei melech Hashem. And the Beis HaMikdash lefnei melech Hashem. Whenever you have one, you have to have the other. Why don't you have both? So he asked the kasha. He doesn't have a teretz. So some say that the teretz is when the Levim are playing music, so you have to ask a musician what other koilus will blend it. The musicians would tell you that the shofar is not going to enhance the music over here. The chatzaitzu is good, the shofar is going to foul everything up. This halacha that the Gemara says, b'chatzaitzu is called shofar, whenever you have one, you have to have the other, only in the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't go, the Hilchas music don't change in the Beis HaMikdash, from outside the Beis HaMikdash, the Hilchas tefillah change, because the Beis HaMikdash is kibesi beis tefillah yikari l'chol ha'amim. And the purpose of the chatzaitzra on the Tainit Sibur, as well as the purpose of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, is to enhance the davening, to elevate it to the level of Za'oka. So there you have a din. Beis HaMikdash is the Mokam Tefillah. So since the Shofar and the Chatzaitzra on different occasions are to enhance the Tefillah, Chatzaitzra on the Tanis Sibah and Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so in the Beis HaMikdash, Lefnei HaMelech Hashem, whenever you're enhancing the davening with one, you should enhance by having both. But if you're playing music, so you ask a musician, whatever makes sense. So what makes sense is the Chatzaitzra. There's no halacha that you have to foul up the music by blowing shofar as well. The Balei HaTesis and all the Rishonim had difficulty understanding this practice, the minig b'shtei yeshivas, that they would blow tashrat after malchus, tashrat after zochenes, tarat after shofars. So the Gaonim themselves justified it. The Rosh quotes from the Rif quotes from the Tshuvas HaGaonim. They said basically we were yotze everything already when we blew Tkiyas Lemiyusha before we started Musa. We were yotze everything already. So it's just liyese says. So anish gefelach. So we blow a little bit like this. And there's one opinion Tosfos adds on. There's one opinion in the Gemara that min haTorah all you have to blow is Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah once. We usually say you have to blow three times. That's why Rashi writes several times in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, why do you have to blow three times Tkiyah Tkiyah, once for Malchus, once for Zechonis, once for Shofis? That sounds like Rashi is saying that Malchus Zechonis Shofis are deraisa, because Rashi is explaining the din deraisa, why the Gemara says that's the popular notion, you have to blow Shofis three times. Tkiyah Tkiyah three times, once you have to reach one of the brachas. Sounds like Rashi is assuming that the three brachas are deraisa, that Tkiyah Salseira brachas is a din deraisa. The Ramban has an interesting comment. How could they have had a suffix? What's the correct kiyah? All of Rishonim asked, what's going on? They didn't. There was a machlekes hatanoim. Some thought that it's tashrat, some thought it's tarat, some thought tashat. So Rabbi Bo lived in Kisri in the days of the Amoraim, and he instituted everybody should be out to everything. How could they have forgotten what's the correct form of kiyah? So the famous Rav Haigoin, the Rishonim quote that Rav Haigoin says, the truth and the matter, all three are acceptable. They're all valid forms of Tkiyas Shofar. So what was the Sofik? There was no Sofik. The Balabatim thought that we're the only ones in the world who are Yotze. The Balabatim and the other Shul are not Yotze because they blow Tashrat. We know the truth, we blow Tarat. And the other thought that we're the only ones who are Yotze. Said that there should be peace among the Balabatim. That's what Rav Haigoin said. There should be peace among the Balabatim. That's why they instituted that you should blow all the logical possibilities. But basically everything is acceptable. So that's why there's no problem if you blow Tashrat after Malchus and Tashrat after Zechronis and Tarat after Shofas. That's how the Rav Haigoin says. So along the lines of the Rav Haigoin, the Ramban says like this. He says that on Rosh Hashanah there are two aspects of Tkiyas Shofar. One is that you blow Shofar al Seder HaBrochus after Malchus when the Shofas, the Reis of the Rabbanon. The Ramban happens to think that it's only the Rabbanon. He says that's parallel to the Tkiyas Chatzaitzvus on the Tainas Sibur. So he says that is acceptable. The Rav Haigoin is right as far as that's concerned. All three forms are acceptable. As long as you blow Tkiyah through a Tkiyah, the Trua can be Shvarim Trua, Shvarim or Trua, everything is good. But on Rosh Hashanah, in addition to that aspect of Tkiyah, Sal Seder HaBrachas, which he holds is only Midi Rabbanon, because the Ramban holds the whole Malchus Chana Shof is only the Rabbanon. Ramban HaChumish argues with that Rashi. He says there's another mitzvah of Tkiyah Shof on Rosh Hashanah. So that was the Sveik Adina, which is the correct way to be Yotze. So if it's supposed to be Tashrat, and you're blowing Tarat and Tashat, that's fine for the Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. That explains the Minig Bishtei Yeshivas, why they had a Stira Min Ayyubay. But if the correct way to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah for the mitzvah Bifnei Atzma of Tkiyas Shofar is to blow Tashrat or Tashat, then you won't be Yotze with the other. So the Ramban has adopted the Rav Haigoin partially. So the Bali HaTosfos were grappling with this. What's with this Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas? What are they blowing? Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. One on this and one on that. It didn't make any sense. Rabbeinu Tam wanted to change it, but he didn't want to make a major change. They should change it like the Orach says. He should blow Tashrat, Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat after Malchus, after Zechronis. He was afraid that's too much of a change. That's our practice today from the Shalom. That's what the Achronim quote in Shulchan. Shalom, change it all the way, that we do all the way like the Orach did. Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, after each one, Malchus Chana Shofar. So Rabbeinu Tam didn't want to change too much. So he said, just change a little bit. Blow Tashrat once after Malchus, and once after Zechronis, and once after Shofar. What does that help if it's supposed to really be Tashat, it's supposed to be really be Tarat? So the Gemara says that it's a hepsik. That's why Rabbi Bo made the Takana and Kisrin, that you have to blow three times Tashrat, and three times Tashat, and three times Tarat. So Rabbi Natam says the whole Hepsik that the Gemara is worried about is only Lachatchila. But yeah, but Hepsik doesn't bother us. You don't have to worry about Hepsik. How does he know? Because the Gemara says, Shama Teisha Tkiyas B'Teisha Shores Bayom, Yotza all day long. He's not going to hear Koila Sacherim Ben Taim. Of course he's going to hear Rabbi Kerb. That's what Rabbi Natam says. So you see, Hepsik Kolacha is not a problem, but Yevet. It's just lachatchila, you shouldn't do it like that. So he says he doesn't want to change the minhag ha'goyim too much. So he recommends that he should just change a little bit, just change the bare minimum. Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out that at the when they blow the shofar after Malchus, one should have an additional kavanah. They quote in all the machzarim from Rav Sadigun that there are 10 kavanas that you should have when they blow shofar. So one of them is when you appoint a new king, even in England, when they have a coronation of a new king, they blow chatzaitzvahs, they blow shofar. So after Malchus, when we want to be mamlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should have specifically that kavana in mind. Should have kavana after Malchus on the shofar, that this should enhance the davening. It should elevate the level of the tefillah. There should be a more serious tefillah. The Gemara says that women are not mukhiv in Tkiyas Shofar. That's why women cannot be the Baal Takeya. Because Tkiyas Shofar is a mitzvah says the Shazman Grama, so women are potter. Is there anything wrong if the women want to volunteer to hear the Tkiyas Shofar? So the Gemara, is there anything wrong if they want to blow Shofar? So the Gemara has a machlokes satanaim, where the Noshim Samchas Rishus. Anashim are not allowed to do smicha. Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. The Gemara relates it over here to Tkiyas Shofar. What is the tzushtel? What is the machlekes? So Rashi learns. Tosef is not happy with Rashi. Rashi learns that the issue is a violation of Baal Tosef. If a woman is going to volunteer to fulfill a mitzvah seser shazman grama, maybe it's a violation of Balteisif, and that's why the Gemara came to the conclusion that it's not, that there's no violation of Balteisif. Taisis can't imagine that any Tana would say that it's a violation of Balteisif. The women are potter, the Gemara says, Godla mitzvah yosef, mishen mitzvah yosef, the man gets more reward, but the women get reward. How can you say it's Balteisif? Taisis says, no. Whenever you blow shofar, there's a gzeira, mashmiya kol. You're not allowed to be mashmiya kol on Shabbos Yontif. If it's b'makom mitzvah, you're allowed to. So that's the shaila. A woman is not mechuyev. If a woman will come to shul and listen to tkiyas, no one's going to say it's a machloikes satanoim, where there's bal teisif. No one, Teis says, no one holds like that Rashi. That's impossible. The only time it's a shaila, the woman wants to blow shofar for herself. So blowing shofar on Shabbos and Yontif is not allowed, because of mashmiya kol, it's only mutar shishani b'makom mitzvah. So, but the woman is not mechuyev to. So that's the machlokes hatanaim. In order to volunteer as an ena mitzvah v'yosa, do we permit her to blow shofar or not? And what's by nashim samchas v'shus? It's also an issue of the rabbanon. Would we permit her to do the imitation smicha? They're not allowed to do smicha b'chol koicha. That's taka osa. Are they allowed to do the imitation smicha? There should be a gzeira. They may make a mistake and may do real smicha. So that's the machlokes hatanaim. Are the women allowed to violate that gzeira? They really should have. We should have had such a gzeira. And then this leads the Rabbi and Tam to say the punchline of his pshat, that if a woman volunteers to fulfill a mitzvah seser shazman grama, Ashkenazim follow the Rabbi and Tam, we would permit her to say the bracha. Why? Because bracha levatol is only the rabbanon. This is all the Rabbi and Tam speaking. Not everybody agrees. Bracha levatol is only the rabbanon. But when you do a mitzvah and you recite a bracha, you enhance the chashivas of the bracha. So the woman on the one hand wants to say the bracha to enhance the chashivas. On the other hand, it's a bracha levatol, it's not mechuyev, bracha shen esricha. So she allowed to violate a din de rabbanon in order to enhance the chashivas of the mitzvah that she's fulfilling. So he says, since we paskin that, yes, we paskin like the Tana, the nashim samchas v'shus, and the women may blow shofar. So we would say that the women may even recite a bracha when they volunteer the mitzvah seser shaz magram. This is all the Rabbi Natam's interpretation on the machlokes hatanoim. Okay, maybe tomorrow we'll continue a little bit more on Rosh Hashanah, Erev Tav Shilin. I would really like to go back to Yevamos, but I think everyone is a little behind.